Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stoniker.
I'm going to be speaking to you this morning from Mark chapter 8, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 27. It says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am?" That's the title of this message. Who do you say Christ is? Who do I say Christ is? You know, it does not matter what other people think. It really doesn't. It does not matter what parents think, what grandparents think. And I want you to listen to this statement right here, because this is the truth. It does not matter what my pastor thinks. All that matters is, what has God said? What has God said in His Word? And with that being said, with that right there being said, what has He given me a response to His Word? What has He put in my heart in response to His Word? Now, here is the question. Whom do you say that I am? That's what our Lord asked. Whom do you say that I am? Who do we say that He is? Who is He? Who is He? This is a great question. Many, many people have no idea. Many people. Who do we say that He is? Now, I pray the Lord might apply this personally. I pray the Lord might apply this to your heart personally and my heart personally. I pray this question would go out to you. Not just blanketly go out to everybody. I'm talking about to you and to me. Directly to my heart. Directly to your heart. One person at a time. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Who do you say He is? Who do you say? Who do I say? Who do we say that He is? Well, verse 27. Jesus went out and His disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. Some thought that our Lord was John the Baptist reincarnated. And the reason is because His message was very bold, just like John's. Now, I believe our Lord was as He said He was. He said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. And you'll find rest to your souls." I believe our Lord was tender with people. I believe He was kind and compassionate, but His message was very bold, meaning very confident. Very confident. There's only one truth to be told. This word declares it. If a man is preaching this word, he's preaching the truth. If he's not preaching this word, he's not preaching the truth. Period. Does not matter who the man is. It does not matter who the man is. But our Lord's message was very bold. This is the way it is. And because of that, many people thought that he was John the Baptist, reincarnated. Some thought he was Elijah or one of the prophets. And the reason is because of the miracles he did. Our Lord performed miracles just like he gave those other men the ability to do. And in the minds of men and women, that was a huge compliment. To call him John the Baptist or one of the apostles, one of the prophets, that was a huge compliment. If somebody said that about another man, that would be a huge compliment. If somebody said about another man, that right there is John the Baptist. That's the modern day John the Baptist. That's the modern day Elijah. What a compliment. That was no compliment to our Lord. No compliment at all. It is an indescribable disgrace to compare his glory to another man. Indescribable disgrace. It may have been a compliment in the eyes of those people. It may be a compliment in the eyes of men and women today. But it is a crime worthy of eternal hell. To bring his glory, to bring the glory of God Almighty down to a man's level. Absolute crime. It's a crime against his glory. May God keep us. I mean this, you and me. May God keep us from the abomination of lessening him. That's all that's taken place in religion today. That's all that's taken place in churches today. Men and women are lessening him. It's an abomination in God's eyes, and he's going to deal with it. Oh, may God keep you and me from that. Lord, keep us from that. Don't let us lessen him. Don't let us bring his glory down. Don't let us lower him in our own eyes. Please don't let us do that. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What he's saying is, let's just look around. Just look up. Look out into space. Look at all these things he's created. We're without excuse. We see his eternal power and Godhead. And we're without excuse. We have no reason to bring his glory down. No reason at all. He went on to say here in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." They did not believe God was God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's what's happened to men and women. Their foolish heart, our foolish hearts by nature, are darkened. We have darkened hearts. And he said in verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man." And then they even brought him down further. And he said, "like to birds." And they brought him down further. "Like to four-footed beast." And then brought him down further in creeping things. Man just keeps bringing God's glory down, lower and lower and lower. This man, Jesus, many people love to use his name, put him on signs, put him on bumper stickers. This man, Jesus, is not just a man. He is not just a man. Over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41 says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." A greater than Jonah. Verse 42 says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." A greater than Solomon. Those who said that he was John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the other prophets, they gave him the highest honor that you could give to a man, and they missed it. They missed it. They missed it. Somebody will say, "Now, wait a minute. Now they love Jesus. They were trying hard. They were trying to honor him. They loved him." They missed it. They missed it. They missed Christ. They missed Christ. What a horrible thing to have happen to a person. To miss Christ. Hold your place if you have a Bible and you're turning with me. Hold your place here. We're going to come right back. But our text says over in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, "Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." That's what Peter said. That was his answer. "Thou art the Christ." Now, we know that Peter gave the right answer because of Matthew's account of this same story. Over in Matthew 16, verse 13 says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He said, "Simon, you are a blessed man. Simon Peter, you have had the truth revealed to you. God has done something for you that he does for very few men and women." He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. God did. My Father did. You did not learn this from a man, and no one does. If God is pleased to open this sinner's eyes, if God is pleased to open this sinner's eyes, God is the one who does it. No man. No man. We declare God's word. We beg for God's Spirit. And if God moves, men will see the truth. They'll see the truth about Jesus Christ. But God has to do it. God has taught Simon Peter, he's taught all of his children, the truth of who this man Jesus Christ really is. Jesus is the Christ. Now let's see what that means. What does that mean to say he's the Christ? What does that mean? In Matthew chapter 1, now the definition of the word Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, Emmanuel, That's the definition of the word Christ. Right here in Matthew 1, verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Christ. Christ means Emmanuel. Emmanuel means Christ, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, has our Lord revealed that to us? Which being interpreted, what does Christ mean? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "A child is going to be born. A son is going to be given. A man is going to come forth." A man. "And his name shall be called," now listen to these names, of this child who came. "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." That's his name. Listen to this one. "The Everlasting Father." That's the name of the child who was born. "The Prince of Peace." Well, now, wait a minute. Is he a man? Is he really man? The answer is 100%. 100%. Man sinned against God. Man had to die. Man did. In order for God to be just and right and fair, he had to punish a man. God had to kill a man for the sin of man. A man had to die. So God became a man. That's amazing, isn't it? God became a man. Well, is he really a man? I mean, is he really a man? 100%. 100%. The Eternal One was born. That's a mystery. The Complete One. He's complete. God is complete. The Complete One grew. That's amazing. The All-Knowing learned. Explain these things to me. I can't. This is the mystery of godliness. The Prince of Peace labored, suffered, grieved. He went to war with sin. The One who will not slumber slept. The One who needs nothing hungered and thirsted. The Sinless One was made to be sin. Life Himself, the One who is the source of all life, died. He died. And He accomplished that the only way it was possible. God became a man. Well, then is He really God? If He truly is man, is He truly God? The answer is 100%. He is the only God. There is no other. Jesus Christ, the only God. There is no other. The whole time that He was a child, He never stopped being the man. Never. The whole time He was a servant, He never stopped being the King. The whole time that He was on trial, He never stopped being the judge. Never. the whole time that he laid in that grave, he never left the seat of his throne. The whole time. Somebody will say, I know, somebody will say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He can't be both. Well, then we've missed Christ. If that's what we say, then we've missed Christ. We've missed Christ. That's what it means to say, Thou art the Christ. That's what it means. Man thinks he sees God. And man thinks he sees Jesus. But I tell you who man has missed. He's missed the Christ. He's missed the Christ. There is no salvation for a soul who misses Christ. No salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Lord means, the definition of that word means, supreme in authority. It means the controller. It means the sovereign. That's what the name Lord means. The sovereign. It means the ruler. It means God. That's what it means. It's the name of His deity. Jesus means Savior. Savior. It means He is the one who has the right to redeem His people. He is the only one who is able to redeem His people. It's the name of His humanity. Christ means He's the union of both. That's what it means. He is where God and man meet. He is where righteousness and peace kiss each other. That's what it means to say, He's the Christ. He's the Christ. How can a sinner be just with God? How? The answer is only in Christ. Only in Him. I could never die for your sins. The reason is because I have my own sins to deal with. I can't pay for my own sins, much less yours. He was sinless. Absolutely sinless. So He was the only man eligible to take the sin of another and lay it on Himself and pay for those sins that were laid on Him. He was the only man who could wipe the slate clean of another. The only man. Back in our text, He's going to tell us how He did it. Back over in Mark chapter 8, verse 27 says, And Jesus went out and His disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, He asked His disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. The Son of Man, the actual man, Jesus Christ the man, must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priest and of the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. That's what He told them. He told them, as God's Redeemer, what He was going to accomplish for the sins of His people. He told them exactly what He was going to accomplish for fallen man. And that's us, fallen man, fallen into sin. He chose some out of this sinful race to have mercy on. And this is how He's going to do it. The perfect man is going to give his life a ransom for many. That's what he said. Verse 32, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. The adversary was causing Peter to rebuke him. The adversary was trying to put a stop to this. His death on the cross is the payment for sin. His death on the cross will lead captivity captive, set his people free. And so he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. A man is doing this, but God is doing this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And our adversary tried as hard as he could to stop it, but it could not be stopped. That is the glory of the gospel. That is the good news of the gospel. He could not be stopped. Christ accomplished the salvation of his people. As a man, he laid down his own life. And as God, he raised himself from the grave. That's amazing, isn't it? He was the judge that required the sacrifice. He was the priest that offered the sacrifice. And he was the sacrifice himself. That's what it means to say, thou art the Christ. It means Christ is all. Christ is all of it. That's what it means. He is all. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe this? Do you believe what God has to say about the Christ? Seeing what God has to say about this man, Jesus the Christ, do you believe in your heart that he is indeed the Christ? Do you believe that? If you do, let me read this to you from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5 verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever God has caused to believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true God. Verse 20 says, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Now, we know what they say, don't we? They say everything under the sun, but it doesn't matter. What do you say? What do I say? May God cause both of us to say, thou art the Christ. Till next week. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.